a week and all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Tyson Fury, who dethroned Deontay Wilder over the weekend to become the new World Boxing Council heavyweight champion. Douglas Mpuga reports.
There is a new WBC heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Tyson Fury prevailed over Deontay Wilder by seventh round technical knockout in one of the most anticipated rematches in recent boxing history on Saturday night at MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Fury, the Gypsy King, became WBC heavyweight champion once again, dominating Wilder before Wilder's corner threw in the towel in the seventh round. Fury outmatched Wilder in every way, dropping him multiple times in the fight and causing him to bleed out of his ear. In the end, the fight was a complete domination, nothing like the first bout. Nearly 15 months after their first meeting ended in controversy, there was no debating who the winner was in the rematch. Fury pummeled his rival in a way few could have imagined, following their 2018 draw, lowering him in the third and fifth rounds, while constantly backing up the most feared puncher in the division in a way no one has done before. Wilder was making his 11th defense, and it was his first loss ever in 44 fights. Wilder will now have 30 days to file for an immediate rematch, but Fury may look to make a unification bout with Anthony Joshua, who currently holds the other three recognized heavyweight belts.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. And my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, will have more on Tyson Fury's triumph later in the show. Gabon and Arsenal football star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has moved to the very top of the English Premier League scoring charts. Aubameyang bagged two goals over the weekend and now has 17 for the season. That makes him joint top scorer with Leicester City's Jamie Vardy. Joining us with more details is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Gabon hitman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored twice as Arsenal came from behind to beat Everton 3-2 at the Emirates Stadium. The win means Arsenal remain unbeaten in 2020 and gives them back-to-back league victories for the first time since the opening two matches of the campaign. Goals from Olivier Giroud and Marcus Alonso either side of the halftime ensured Chelsea struck a significant blow in the fight for the top four places, after securing a fully deserved 2-1 victory over Tottenham at Stamford Bridge. Manchester United were also at their brilliant best as they dismantled Watford 3-0 at Old Trafford, thanks to goals from Bruno Fernandes, Antoine Martial and Mason Greenwood, while Gabriel Jesus came off the bench to give Manchester City a 1-0 victory over third-place Leicester City at the King Power Stadium.
Prince, at Anfield on Monday evening, top of the table Liverpool can take another step toward the Premier League title when they host West Ham United. How's this one shaping up?
The Reds actually come into today's fixture on the back of having tested defeat during last Tuesday's UEFA Champions League round of 16 first leg tie against Atletico Madrid, and they'll definitely be looking to bounce back. The Hammers have the unenviable task of attempting to become the first team to take points off Liverpool at Anfield in the Premier League this season. Liverpool have won 25 out of their 26 league games in this campaign, with the only draw coming against Manchester United at Old Trafford. And by the way, Liverpool fans will be so delighted to hear that the Reds are actually unbeaten in 7 league matches against West Ham and only need 5 victories from their final 12 league games to guarantee a first top flight title since 1990. Sonny, I do not see Liverpool losing points in this match, and my prediction would be Liverpool 3, West Ham 1.
Prince, I like how you don't sit on the fence when it comes to your Premier League predictions. Let's go to France now, Prince. I see where Paris Saint-Germain has extended their lead at the top of the French league table.
Yeah, 2 goals from Marquinhos, 1 from French South Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe, and Edinson Cavani's 200th helped PSG to narrowly beat Bordeaux in a 4-3 thriller at the Parc des Princes. The French league leaders ultimately held on to stretch their advantage at the top of the table to 13 points after Marseille's 14-match unbeaten run ended after they fell to a surprise 3-1 home defeat by all-form Nantes. Marseille were down by goals either side of halftime by Belgian forward of Congolese descent Anthony Limbombe, French footballer of Ivorian descent Abdul Kader Bamba, and a late Alvaro own goal. Marseille stay 8 points clear of third place Rennes, while Lille moved to fourth in the table courtesy of Loïc Rémy Brest, and a third by Renato Sanchez to hand Toulouse a 3-0 throbbing.
Let's go to Spain now, Prince. Barcelona superstar Lionel Messi has ended a mini-scoring drought in typical style.
Yeah, the six-time Ballon d'Or winner scored 4 goals as Barcelona thumped Eibar 5-0 at Camp Nou to move back to the top of La Liga ahead of Real Madrid, who suffered another setback in the title race after losing 1-0 to Levante. Atletico's 3-1 comeback win over Villarreal lifted the team into third place, level on points with fourth place Sevilla, which leapfrogged Getafe by dealing the season's surprise team a stinging 3-0 home defeat. Elsewhere in Italy, Cristiano Ronaldo celebrated his 1,000th professional match by scoring for a record equaling 11th consecutive Serie A appearance to set leaders Juventus on the way to a 2-1 win at SPAL in a top versus bottom match played on Saturday. The 35-year-old's goal took his league tally for the season to 21, in effect joining Fabio Quagliarella and Gabriel Batistuta as the only players to have scored in 11 consecutive league appearances. Prince Nesta, on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news. Samson says he'll be kicking off with South African football. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. South Africa have pulled out their Olympic football team out of a friendly with host Japan due to the ongoing fears over coronavirus in the country. The South African National Under-23 team was set to travel to Japan on the 27th of March, 4 months ahead of the start of the Tokyo Olympic Games for the encounter. Japan is one of the most affected countries in the world with a total of 146 cases of the coronavirus. In Kenya, incumbent Football Association President Nick Wenwa is the only presidential nominee for the upcoming contested Football Kenya Federation elections. For the second time in 3 months, Football Kenya Federation President Nick Wenwa presented his nomination papers for the top football seat in the country. The initial polls slated for last December were cancelled by the Sports Dispute Tribunal over irregularities in the electoral board and the lack of public participation in the exercise. But Mr. Wenwa insisted he was confident of triumphing in the polls slated for next month, even if the exercises repeated several times.
We are dragging Kenya into a quagmire of elections that we do not need because there's a clear leadership and there's clear political support.
And now to athletics news. Joshua Cheptegei has been crowned the Uganda 2019 Athlete of the Year at a colorful ceremony in Kampala. The long-distance athlete triumphed at various international events and also became the first Ugandan to win a 10,000 meters gold medal at the World Athletics Championship before registering the 5-kilometer road race world record.
But there's only one step that is separating me to become to becoming the greatest distance runner of all time and, of course, the greatest athlete, of course, of the Ghana sport. And I believe that that's the Olympic gold. And I would not pray this year to become just like any other year. This is a special year, and I got to work out everything, and I pray that the Almighty God gives me the strength to become definitely the Olympic champion.
In cricket news, South Africa's batters held their nerve to deliver a surprise 6-wicket victory over England with 2 balls to spare in their opening match at the Women's T20 World Cup in Perth, Australia on Sunday. Mignon Dupire celebrated her 100th appearance in the T20 format in the most memorable fashion imaginable when she hit a 6 and a 4 in the final over. It was South Africa's most famous victories ever and their first over England in a major ICC event. The celebrated South African batswoman Mignon Dupire was excited over their victory.
You can see the smile on my face. It's nice to finally be able to beat them in an ICC tournament. This is the 7th one I've played in and we haven't actually gotten close. Like you mentioned, there has been a few nightmares in the past, but to finally put that behind us and to move forward is really exciting.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Thanks, Tatiana, and we look forward to seeing Tatiana McFadden and other athletes with disabilities compete at the 2020 Paralympics in Tokyo. The Paralympics are scheduled from August 25th to September 6th in the Japanese capital. And they'll officially open 16 days after the Tokyo Olympics end. Now, one Ugandan athlete hoping to medal at the Tokyo Games is Joshua Cheptegei, who we heard from in Samson Omale's report. The 23-year-old Cheptegei is coming off a world record performance in Monaco. He clocked 12 minutes and 51 seconds, the fastest time ever for a 5-kilometer road race. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinj has reaction from Kampala, Uganda.
According to the Runner's World website, Cheptegei attacked the pace from the gun, breaking away from the field with an opening kilometers of 2 minutes 31 seconds and held a pace of between 2 minutes and 35 seconds before eventually completing at a speed of 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
I can say I'm really more excited and I'm happy about it and I'm delighted. Of course, I'm honored to come to Monaco and run a world record. It's really a great feeling.
Francis Jimmy Gracia finished second and set a new European record of 13 minutes and 18 seconds, while British Nick Gulab finished third. The Ghanaian runner produced one of the finest performances and became the third man in history to win both the 5,000 meters and 10,000 double at the Commonwealth Games. Cheptegei went on to crush the Games record to claim the 10,000 meters gold at the Doha World Championships.
For sure, I'm really unstoppable and I've been winning race after race from the beginning of 2019. After the setback of the national cross country where I became second, of course, I went to the world cross country where I won the gold. And then from there to the Diamond League champion, from there to Doha, from Doha to the world record of 10K, and now the 5K world record.
He attributes his success to discipline and hard work. Cheptegei trains in his homeland, Kapchorwa, that stands at an altitude of 2,573 meters above sea level, where he will be based as he trains for this year's Olympic Games. In 2016, he participated in the Rio de Janeiro Olympic Games, where he placed 8th and 6th in 5,000 meters and 10,000 finals, respectively. Cheptegei says he believes he can do better this time around.
I don't want to put a lot of expectations in from the fans, of course, out there, but just know that I'm really good at doing my best and I won't disappoint. If I'm feeling good and healthy, I can, of course, bring the title home, and that would be my joy, to make you guys happy and make our country proud.
Joshua Cheptegei's hard work and success has been recognized both locally and internationally. Last year, he was nominated for the Male World Athlete of the Year by the International Association of Athletics Federation, OIAF, an accolade that was won by his East African compatriot, Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Hearty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. In pro boxing, Tyson Fury turned in a brilliant and dominating performance over the weekend to capture the World Boxing Council heavyweight title in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining us now with more on Fury's victory over Deontay Wilder is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tyson Fury took control of the fight late in the first round and never relinquished it. And in round seven, Wilder's corner threw in the towel, the referee stopped the fight, and Tyson Fury was crowned the WBC heavyweight champion. In his post-fight news conference, Fury thanked his new coach, Javon Sugarhill Stewart, for changing his style of boxing and said the two of them were just getting started.
You know, I'm my own worst critic. And even though it was a fantastic performance and I got a great win, I know I can do better. And I've only just started me and Sugarhill with this style. We've had 7 weeks to perfect a style that takes years at the Kronk Gym in and out. But I'm a quick learner, and I aim to get back to work straight away, work on my balance, work on my straight punches, and we're going to be putting people to sleep left, right, and centre. Don't forget, when I came here, they said I can't punch. Deontay Wilder said himself that I've got two pillow fists. But, you know, not bad for an old fat guy who can't punch, eh? Done all right, didn't I?
Fury did do all right. He used his long reach to his advantage and continually beat Wilder to the punch. In the third round, Fury landed a right hand to Wilder's ear and sent him to the canvas. Fury dropped his American opponent again in the fifth round, and a flurry of punches in the seventh caused Wilder's corner to throw in the towel and Fury to win by a technical knockout. Afterwards, Fury told reporters that was all part of the plan.
I said what I was going to do, run across the ring to him, put him on the back foot, and unload big shots on him. And I know at 6'9" and 270 pounds, if I hit anybody, I'll knock them spark out. I've never been the type of boxer to sit down on my punches and let fly. I've always been a slick master boxer, jab, move, get out of the way of everything. We did everything that I did in the ring tonight. We practiced in the gym, setting up off the jab and landing the detonation right hand. And Deontay Wilde's a very tough guy. He took a lot of good rights. And I think they done the right thing because it was only a matter of time before he got severely hurt. He was very tired in there.
The British champion was then asked if there was any chance he would fight compatriot Anthony Joshua, who holds the WBA, IBF, WBO, and IBO heavyweight titles. But surprisingly, Fury said he has his eyes set on yet another rematch with Wilder.
The spoils of war has just happened. I need to enjoy this victory. Deontay will need time to recover from the fight, but I'm almost sure that he'll take a rematch because he's a dynamite puncher, and at any time he can take somebody out, and with that danger, then you're always in a fight. So I'm pretty sure we'll do it again. We're running back again if he wants to, but if he doesn't want to, then these are me promoters, and you know, whatever they want to do, I'm happy with. Whoever's next will get the same treatment, that's for sure. Thank you.
And with that, Tyson Fury left the press conference with his WBC belt in tow. Many critics are saying Deontay Wilder's corner was right to throw in the towel in the seventh round. But if you ask Wilder's cornerman, that opinion is split. It was Wilder's co-trainer Mark Breland who took action to stop the fight. But lead trainer Jay Diaz and Wilder himself are not happy about it. After the fight, Diaz told reporters, "Mark threw in the towel. I didn't think he should have. Deontay is the kind of guy that's a go-out-on-his-shield kind of guy. And he will tell you straight up, don't throw the towel in." Wilder spoke about the decision while still in the ring following his loss and said, "I'm doing good. Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my corner threw in the towel and I was ready to go out on my shield. I had a lot of things going on heading into this fight. It is what it is, but I make no excuses tonight. I just wish my corner would have let me go out on my shield. I'm a warrior. He had a great performance, and we will be back stronger. Wilder's record now stands at 42 wins, one loss, and one draw. Tyson Fury maintains his unblemished record with 30 wins and one draw. And we will see if there is a rematch between the two heavyweights in the future. So stay tuned. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The late, great Los Angeles Lakers basketball star Kobe Bryant is being honored this Monday evening at a public memorial service in Los Angeles, California. The AP's Julie Walker reports.
Thousands of mourners will gather at the Staples Center in Los Angeles today to say farewell to Kobe Bryant. The basketball superstar and his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, will be honored in a public memorial at the arena where Bryant played for the L.A. Lakers. The pair died along with seven others on January 26th in a helicopter crash. The celebration of life will feature sports greats and other major figures reflecting on Bryant's life both on and off the court, as well as music. Money from ticket sales goes to the Mamba and Mambacita Sports Foundation. A private funeral was held for Kobe and Gigi Bryant on February 7th. I'm Julie Walker.
Thanks, Julie. At the Staples Center on Sunday, the Lakers edged the Boston Celtics 114-112 in a matchup between the two most successful teams in NBA history. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James carried the Lakers to a 114-112 win over the Celtics in a battle that came right down to the wire. The duo combined for 17 fourth-quarter points, with James scoring the go-ahead basket and Davis making three huge foul shots in the waning seconds.
We just stayed with it, you know, whether they made runs, we made runs. We just stayed in the moment and just try to, you know, complete the win. But we know how big this rivalry is. It goes way back, way before, you know, some of us was even born. So, you know, we want to make sure that we came in here and get the win, especially the way they beat us in Boston.
Coach Frank Vogel said games like this are good in the long run.
Each time we get into a close game like that, win or lose, you know, you learn lessons, you get a better feel for each other. And, you know, that stuff's going to, you know, be beneficial for us in the playoffs.
Boston's Jason Tatum matched a career high by scoring 41.
I just wish we would have won. That's all that really matters. You know, I know what I'm capable of, and, you know, my teammates know that. And we know what each and every guy can do in here. But, you know, we just want to win at the end of the day.
Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Elsewhere around the NBA Sunday, the defending league champion Toronto Raptors routed the visiting Indiana Pacers 127-81. It was the 17th win in the past 18 games for the red-hot Raptors. Kyle Lowry had 16 points and 11 assists for Toronto. The Raptors also had excellent performances from two of their African players. Cameroonian star Pascal Siakam scored 21 points for Toronto, and Serge Ibaka from Congo Brazzaville had 15 points and a season-high 15 rebounds. And that wraps up the February 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Daniel Downtown Brown. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Oh,
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
One, two, three,
four. It's the weekend. Time to relax, kick back, and treat yourself to a fresh new episode of Music Time in Africa. And then I take you inside the music scene in Accra, Ghana. I chat with three of its top stars, Stoneboy, Samini, La Missy, plus the popular radio presenter, Prince Benjamin.
Why? Is there music, love? What are we talking about?
I think it's love. She's been a little love.
Love.
Yeah, what else would it be?
Finally, we go to New Orleans, Louisiana, USA. Mardi Gras takes place February 25th, and we explore the city's iconic street brass band music of that annual festival. Don't miss it, peeps! This Sunday and the following Saturday at 1505 and 20500 UTC. Music Time in Africa.
Hello, everyone! The best of best is still yet to be heard. Don't forget to tune in on Thursday, February the 20th for the Billboard's 10 Best Songs of 2019. You'll get to hear your favorite artist, Billie Eilish, Jonas Brothers,
I'm a sucker for you,
Lizzo. Don't forget to tune in only on The Voice of America.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers using a variety of space and ground-based telescopes say they have spotted a very rare system of three monster black holes that are on the path to a spectacular collision and merger. The triple black hole system was discovered at the center of three galaxies that had merged with each other. This trinary system is said to be located about a billion light years away and are each separated by distances that range between 10,000 to 30,000 light years. Astronomers say they found evidence that the giant black holes are actively feeding on surrounding material. The system was first spotted by the ground-based Sloan Digital Sky Survey in New Mexico. NASA space telescopes such as WISE, Chandra, Hubble, and NuSTAR were also used to gather data on the triple black hole system. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.